The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Another edition of Stunt Granny Audio, and since I did the post before the show, this is number 195. So we are nearing a milestone of our own, and I am here celebrating an almost milestone with my almost co-host, Dusty Giebank. How you doing, Dusty?
I said to him, two fingers up the ass would be gay, you know, and what? No. No, I couldn't hear what he was saying. He was blowing me at the time. What? Hey, Kevin, are we live? Hey, what's going on, man?
Well, we might be live. And but the people listening will not hear us live, unfortunately.
Right.
And they will miss out on half of the fun of the show, being live.
Well, good thing there wasn't anything embarrassing. So we'd have to edit it out or something.
Yes, exactly.
In any event, you know, I don't know where to start. I'll start by saying this. Now, to lead into what I want to ask you about, architecture isn't the easiest thing in the world. Seems to me like you should have a few sparking brain cells to get into that profession. And yet the person you work with doesn't seem to have any.
Question. No, he doesn't. And there's a reason on my own account I call him idiot intern. I choose to keep everyone nameless.
Yes.
But he has been there. He reminded us last week that he has been there 4 years.
Oh.
And both Dan and I are like, so what were we doing when we'd been here for 4 years?
Yeah.
And the answer came back a lot more.
Right. But this guy is resilient. He's hung in there for 4 years. You know?
He's kind of rabid in that department. It's a little, but also he wants to hold on to the job, but then he's also just kind of lazy.
Yeah.
Where he will not, do enough work to appropriately, get himself into master's school so that he can get a proper degree and actually become a licensed architect. That's the other thing, is that this guy has no hope at the current moment of becoming licensed. None, like zero, because he does not have the proper degree.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So not going back to school is a resoundingly terrible idea. I mean, unless you really like just being a draftsman for the rest of your life, if you don't mind being the low guy on the totem pole.
Now, is that akin to going to law school and settling on being a paralegal instead of a lawyer?
I would believe that would be correct.
Okay.
My
you just sell yourself short to spite your face or something.
Yep. So his latest thing, which has nothing to do with that end of his idiocy. This guy, on numerous times, has bragged about his gym workouts, which is a riot when he visibly becomes fatter.
Yeah.
He ran at like Olympic speeds for half an hour. Like,
yeah.
It was hysterical. But his workouts now, because he canceled his gym membership.
Yeah.
On Monday, he brought in weights into the office.
Oh, no.
He brought in two dumbbells.
Yeah.
And then he proceeded to do bicep curls, tricep extensions, and some I would call them military press, maybe, or just some shoulder lifts.
Okay.
At his desk.
Yeah.
We couldn't stop laughing because, like, he brought the weights, and I'm like, okay, he just had them in his car, and he wants to, he doesn't have a lot of space at his residence, so I'm like, man, he just doesn't want to have them at home anymore. But then I turn around from getting water, and I see him doing these exercises.
Yeah.
And I have to run into our office manager's area is separate from the big drafting room that we have.
Sure.
So I run in there to, like, I fall on the ground laughing.
Was it one of those things like, I gotta tell somebody?
Oh, yeah, no. We were all sitting there.
And oh, you already saw it. Okay.
Yeah, like, everyone that is in the drafting area, like, it's, we have some low, like, 5-foot dividers.
Mm-hmm.
But we can see each other through where our, because we have one long desk that all of our computers set on.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can still see people through these alleys. So, everyone else saw it. And plus, like, you know, when you're doing an extension like that, your hand comes up over the divider anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the other funny thing, is that the guy that sits, because the idiot sits two seats to my left. The gentleman that sits directly to my left, he asked me a question later in the afternoon. And I turn to answer him because he turns his screen at me. And I go to try and answer him. And all
but
I
you can't
see
him. All you can see is intern. Yes.
Yeah, well, and this was, like, way later in the afternoon. This was, like, because he brought the weights in around, 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And this is sometime probably after I ate lunch at, you know, around, like, 2:30 or 3. And I can't see the guy that's asking me the question because all I see are the more tricep extensions going down just further to the left.
Right.
And I'm like, I just looked at him, I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, I just shook my head and started laughing and pointed next to him, and he doesn't even look back. He just shakes his head.
No, he knows.
Because he knows exactly what is going on.
He had to deal with it directly all day, he knows.
So, and then that's the other funny thing is that then this morning, right as he comes in, and he's always, not so shockingly, the last one in the office.
Right.
Because our boss is pretty free. As long as you put in your time, you put in your time.
Mm-hmm.
But Dan and I love the show Warehouse 13 on Sci-Fi Network. Ooh. Use real name. Oh, well, whatever. Six people will know. But So we're sitting there talking about Warehouse 13 this morning, and Dan just starts laughing, and I'm just like, that part wasn't funny, dude. And he just points behind me, and I'm like, oh, no.
Yep. That's so great.
So Jeremy's giving it an over-under of 9 business days until he stops, as I put it, just because it seems appropriate, pumping iron at his desk.
Yeah.
That, for his level of competency, pumping iron seems like the right thing.
Right. Because, you know, he probably brags to people that he is pumping iron, you know?
Yes. Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, he his exploits were hilarious. And I'm like, dude, you do understand that I'm in really good shape, right?
Yeah.
Like,
you
should really realize who you're talking to. Like, I just did Warrior Dash, and I finished in the top 5% here.
Nice.
Like, I'm not some chump, so don't, like, try to sell me this story. Like, and I just look at him, and I'm like, no. So, yeah, I can see him saying the same stuff to other people.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
If he has the gall to say it to me, knowing that I'm in really good shape, he's got to just brag to other people, too.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
I think about who he's friends with, you know? The kind of people that buy into his nonsense. I don't even want to think about that. That makes me so depressed for society, you know?
Well, and you know what? There is one person that is somewhat similar that I just ran into when I went back to Altoona this past weekend.
Yeah.
He once told, well, there were two things. Since the Olympics are on, he told us once that he almost made it to the U.S. Olympic volleyball team.
Oh, my God.
He said that he was going to make it to Atlanta when he would have been, like, 18 or something like that.
Right, yeah.
But he blew out his knee.
Sure.
And the one reason we kept him around is we kept him around for entertainment. Like, I mean, he made up the most ridiculous stories that we just sit there, and it was entertaining for him to come up with stuff. And the other story that I really remember is that a bull got loose on Indiana University of Pennsylvania, their campus.
Ooey pooey, yes.
So a bull got loose. Well, the bull charged him, and he knocked it out with a punch to the skull.
Yeah.
It was the most of all outrageous claims that I've ever heard.
Right, there's no way.
That one could be more outrageous than the volleyball one thing.
Right.
But, those are two of my favorites. So if someone keeps around Idiot Intern for that kind of entertainment factor, I can understand, but I behind his back, I'd never call him a friend.
Right. he would have had to have been like a child prodigy, you know, and volleyball.
In order
to make the Olympics at 18 or 17 or whatever it was.
Yeah, he would have had to have been the second coming of Karch Karai.
Yes.
Yes,
that's the name
man.
I was looking for, yes. Thank you.
Oh, man. So, well, I think that's enough about that ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Let's, I suppose, talk about a little bit of that thing that is called wrestling here.
Hey, wasn't the Unabomber a child prodigy?
Anyway. Oh, what's...
anyway.
Yes. Under the news that you, our fans, can use this week, Karma and the Velvet Sky released from their respective promotions.
Yes, and both couldn't have been released more bizarrely. There was controversy about both of them. Are they released? Were they released? Have they been released? Well, they're still on the roster page. Well, I don't know. It says gone. Well, they're still on the roster page. 2 days later, oh, okay, they're officially gone, you know? Just totally weird.
Yeah, there was a lot of drama around both of them. And you forgot one part. Did they ask for their release or were they released?
Yes, exactly.
Always an important question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you, does this, impact either the WWE or TNA in any real capacity?
Not really. I mean, Karma wasn't being used at all, you know? So this affects WWE not at all. You know,
right?
And I think she's legitimately crazy too. I mean, there's a whole bunch of shit going on with her, and she's more harm than good. You know, I mean the kid thing. You know, with the miscarriage, she had a kid, but she didn't really have a kid, and the whole crying thing. It's just she's insane, and she's not worth the trouble. Because WWE doesn't care about women's wrestling anyway, so even if she was used as best as they could, it wouldn't be that good anyway, and it's just not worth it, you know?
Right.
So.
Yeah, and you know, the one thing, because I was arguing with it about, with Jeremy a little bit, it just hit me. Did they ever mention, when she had miscarried, I guess?
Did they ever mention on TV or
not on TV? But like, I don't think I've ever seen a number because, like, I was arguing with him. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe she was still upset and she was, you know, doing crazy postpartum depression shit, and she wanted to pretend that she still had a kid.
Right.
I'm like, okay, maybe she, you know, she's a little crazy, but maybe it's motherhood kind of crazy, kind of a thing. But, I mean, if she had time to, a long amount of time after the miscarriage to deal with it before making up the fake, or, you know, going with the fake baby thing 9 months, let's just say she loses it in months, you know, 4 or 5 or something like that.
Sure.
That means you had, you know, the remaining 4 or 5 months to come up with this cockamamie plan.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if it was, well, and I guess it would have been birth gone wrong, too, wouldn't it have been?
Yeah.
Instead of miscarriage.
Right.
Oh, shit. Okay, never mind. You know what? I argue with Jeremy for no good reason.
Well, whatever. I mean, I get where you're coming, you know.
Yeah, no, I was trying to come at it from some angle, but now that I think about it even more, it's just like, oh, well, that stuff really doesn't even hold up.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
Yeah, but I think you're right. She's probably a little batshit. I guess that's my long way of coming around to that view.
Well, thank you.
Oh, man. And I guess to me, the strangeness, I don't think Velvet Sky will really be missed in TNA.
She was quite possibly the worst professional wrestler I've ever seen. And I know I'm the one banging the drum where work rate doesn't matter all that much, but holy shit, was she terrible. I mean, oh, my God.
Yeah, and you know, I think that that's what, because she got that big, well, she got a big push twice, really.
Yep, twice. Mm-hmm.
And both times they ended up pulling back on it. And the most recent one, I'm like, I don't understand. But ever since then, I don't know. I guess I was like, man, she is really limited in the ring, to put it politely. So it's just like, yeah, maybe that's because, I think it's this past week on the show itself. Was it Nikki and Tara against Gail and Madison Rain?
Yeah.
And when any combination of Nikki and Tara and Gail Kim were in the ring, like, there's just, there was no joking around.
Oh, yeah, right.
It was some good wrestling, so.
An air of professionalism.
Yeah, so it's just like, why, and I guess that was one that really nailed it home for me, too. Because it's just like, man, this match is really good when these three are in here. Madison Rain is better than Velvet, but that's about as far as I'm going to go with that compliment.
Right.
I guess like that was another match. I'm just like, yeah, they don't need her in any way, shape, or form.
No, not really. Based on, they really only do storylines for one woman thing at a time anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't need her, you know. They're just fine.
Yep. They have another fairly inept wrestler as their champion, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We will move on along from that one. That Miss Tessmacher is another subject for another time.
Oh, God. This is a whole other situation.
Well, would Velvet Sky be any of any, because the WWE doesn't really use their women as wrestlers, would she really be of any use there?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. I mean, she'd be brought in for her looks, which I don't think are all that great anyway, and that's going to make me some friends and some enemies, I'm sure. But I don't see any real use for her in WWE either, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking along the same lines in the looks department.
Yeah.
Because, like, she has a fantastic hiney.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, she's got her assets.
Yeah, but, you know, yeah, like, as far as, like, the other divas, she's not as good looking, especially since they decided to bring their average up by getting rid of the Bella Twins.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
So, yeah, no, I mean, as much as I enjoyed her, like, it's either there or being stuck in the even worse hell of Ring of Honor.
Right. Which I don't know. You know, they'll probably end up bringing her in. That's where I think she'll end up, Ring of Honor. Ring of Hell!
Yeah. Somebody else needs more of a clown car. So they'll bring in Velvet Sky.
Exactly. What's one more person? And just shove her the fuck in that car, man.
Oh, man. Well, crap. I couldn't come up with a decent segue, so screw it. I think there is a little more news that we can use from TNA from this past week. Really. James is James Storm behind the Aces and Eights group.
Okay. All right, I'm completely out to lunch on this topic. Tell me what's going on here. Aces and Eights is this group of wrestlers. It's the worst name for a group of wrestlers in the history of the planet. And James Storm, the perpetual babyface hero, is supposedly behind it now, or is this just rumored?
They are playing it that way currently.
Okay.
And yeah, they have been a band of masked men beating up anyone from Bobby Roode to Sting and Hulk Hogan.
Interesting.
So they have not spared the heels in their beat downage.
Equal opportunity ass kickers.
Yes. So, in this past week, they ended up leaving James Storm. Bobby Roode at the top of the show accused him of being behind it because Roode had gotten attacked the previous week by Aces and Eights. But,
now, let me stop you right there, because if this was WWE booking, they would have had Bobby Roode go around backstage all episode dressed as Sherlock Holmes, trying to find clues as to James Storm's involvement with the group. So, credit where it's due there to TNA.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, it's a better whodunit than I've seen in a while, you know? Like, most of the times, because at this point, honestly, they're keeping it between... now, Bobby Roode accuses James Storm, but people still aren't completely buying Bobby Roode.
Right.
But James Storm is, he ended up later in the episode he talked to one of his tag team partners, and he kind of acted dejected afterwards.
Yeah.
Which was another one that was like, oh, they're kind of giving a hint here.
Sure.
And then at the end of the program, when Aces and Eights attacked everyone in the ring, they ended up leaving him alone.
Gotcha. Okay.
Ah, damn it.
Well, that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah. So it is kind of, you know, they have it down to two people.
Yeah.
So I mean, it works out pretty well. You know, you don't need to have like an unlimited number of suspects,
right?
To make something interesting to me, like just having two. You know, equal opportunity suspects can work out
sure.
pretty well.
Like when Vince McMahon was trying to find his kid, right? And they brought everyone on the roster into the ring. They didn't need to do that, you know? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
WWE is pretty ridiculous half the time. So.
Yes, they are. So yeah, again, kind of credit where it's due. Like,
yeah,
you don't,
absolutely.
You do not need to do that in that storyline context.
Solid tight booking. This is absolutely Bruce Pritchard's influence. He's a really smart guy, and I'm glad TNA has him. Things seem to be on the up with him in a position of power. So.
Yeah, no, at least things are somewhat consistent. I haven't seen the lows out of them as much as I had been, so that's
that's
a move in the right direction.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, aside from the terrible name, I've kind of liked the work so far
sure.
with this angle.
It sounds really intriguing. I got to say I'm a fan of it. So far, it's smart.
Now,
relatively simplistic. It doesn't have to be fucking Chinese algebra. Make it simple and make it make sense. So,
well, there was something simple in that it made sense. But I'm wondering if it's good booking.
Yeah.
Which is and I forgot that I had three pieces of news from TNA that our fans can use. Chavo Guerrero ends up getting the star treatment. They have been building up his appearance for, I think, 2 weeks now.
Sure.
And then this week they had a couple of video segments, and they had, I believe, four different wrestlers talking about Chavo Guerrero's influence.
Yeah.
Oh, you think this is do you think this is a train wreck like I do?
Absolutely. treating Chavo Guerrero like a big star is ridiculous. Because he never was and never will be. And any name value he had, WWE just killed over the last, whatever, decade or whatever the fuck it's been. being related to Eddie Guerrero only gets you about yay far, and then you have to actually do something on your own. And, yeah, TNA's totally missing the mark on this.
Yeah, and then the only way that they could make matters worse, one of the gentlemen who talked on him was Hernandez.
Yeah.
Who then ended up making a save for Chavo Guerrero during his little in-ring speech.
Sure.
Hello?
Oh, man. I saw you guys might be recording tonight.
Yeah,
Mr. DeFrango, who's on with you?
Mr. Giebink.
Hello.
Oh, hello. It's the Wisconsin Connection. I just want to do a quick run-in.
Go ahead.
Well, I didn't know what you guys were on or not, but
we were just talking about the shitastic topic that is Chavo Guerrero showing up in TNA. So feel free to name yourself and go about your topics.
Oh, well, everybody, it's a Matt Fanatic calling in. Just wanted to say hi to the Stunt Grand Universe, since Dusty doesn't want to review Impact anymore.
I don't.
Can't say.
And we've talked
can't
about,
say,
so far on this audio, we've talked about three TNA topics, and you can hear me getting more suicidal by the minute, so that'll be a bonus for you to listen back to.
Well, I'm glad they did bring in a Chavo Guerrero and push him as such a big superstar that his first feud is with Kid Cash and Gunner, because he's such a big deal. Oh, I can't wait for Chavo Guerrero to come in. He's the greatest thing ever. I mean, he's Eddie's nephew, and he rode that horse, and he shaved his head that one time back in 1996, and he got beat up by Hornswoggle for six straight months, so he's a pretty big deal, everybody. Chavo Guerrero, look at us.
Yeah.
Gut check.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, I forgot about the craziness that is his first feud. It's nothing like coming in and getting. Not only are you feuding with Gunner, and I was just about ready to call him Murphy because I already forgot who it was. Oh, Kid Cash.
Who gives a
You're
shit?
In a tag team feud now with Hernandez.
Yeah.
Well, they are Mexican.
Right.
Yeah, and what good a wrestling promotion worth its salt wouldn't just be blatantly racist all the time.
Well, I mean, have you ever been in a fight with a Mexican? You know they all stick together.
Never
had that joy, huh?
No, Altoona is pretty lily white.
No.
And playing hockey will not make anything any more ethnicity diverse.
Hmm. Who does Kid Cash looks like somebody, doesn't he? He looks like Jeremy Renner.
Who?
He does look a little bit like Jeremy Renner if he was a lot more stocky.
Right. Jeremy Renner, by the way, in National Lampoon's Senior Trip. Everybody check that out.
I have not checked that out. I will have to do that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, guys, I'll let you get back to it. But I thought I would just do a quick run and see if anybody was on. And actually, I'm happy I did get to talk about Chavo Guerrero because I watched Impact in like a half an hour. So, Dusty, I'm glad we don't do audio because that would take like four times as long for me to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
But I almost wanted to turn it off when they're hyping Chavo Guerrero and everybody's talking about what a big deal he is. The last time we saw him, he said he was getting beat up by a midget week after week after week. So have a good time, guys. I'm going to go to bed.
Night.
Peace.
Outstanding.
Bob Uecker said in Major League, dynamite drop-in, Monty.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, and I was expecting either Mays or Nelson. So that was a true surprise.
I was totally expecting Jeremy's voice, but yeah. A nice surprise.
Excellent. Well, since he set our show on fire with his commentary about Chavo Guerrero.
Any other fires, Kevin? Any other fires we can talk about?
Yes, there might have been a fire on the set of Raw. There was 100% a fire at Raw this week. And do we have someone else on the line here?
I think he just dropped out.
Oh, okay.
I think he probably stuck around for a few minutes to see if we weren't going to talk about him behind his back and then hung up. That's a classic Dusty move, actually. So, I'll see you guys later. I'm going now. Yep, going home. All right, guys. Anyway.
Well, now we know.
Right.
But, you know, them showing the fire, the fire thing several times on Raw, that's just a consequence of them not really having enough material from for the show itself. Is this a true statement?
a desperate attempt to fill 3 hours of time with stuff.
It would have been neat to, mention it at the top of the show as they did.
Mm-hmm.
But, it was completely unnecessary to mention that any further.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be remiss to point out, by the way, they're so desperate to fill 3 hours, and yet they managed to go overrun every week anyway. Because they always put one of their good ideas at the very end of the 3 hours. There's not words in the English dictionary to describe my anger towards that approach to booking. But back on topic, yeah, it was just filler and it was just nonsense, you know, unnecessary.
Actually, after the 11:05 mark hit, I thought that the show was sufficiently over that I did not in any way go back to watch. I'm just erasing Covert Affairs off of my DVR right now.
Sure.
I didn't realize that AJ came out and ended up making the match that everybody and their sister knew was going to happen.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what sneaky heel ever thinks that that's a good idea anymore, because after AJ admitted to watching the show last week, which is a gigantic no-no in wrestling, evidently.
Right. Yeah, right. That kind of shit doesn't happen in TNA, damn it.
So somehow they can watch back their matches to get better, but they can't acknowledge anything else that's been on the telly.
It's like, on the tape they get, any of the backstage stuff and the non-wrestling stuff doesn't end up on the tape. It's really weird.
Yeah, even though that's the largest part of any wrestling show these days.
Right, the tapes they get are all like 20 minutes long, you know, it's really weird.
Oh, man.
It's the film version of Disappearing Ink, you know? Where'd the show go? I don't know, just watch your match. Okay.
Nothing else was important. Great.
Right.
Okay, fantastic. Oh, man. Well, speaking of disappearing, I thought that Jerry Lawler had a disappearance of any semblance of an opinion after CM Punk gave him a little talking to at the announce table there.
More evidence of him just cashing it in?
Okay, I was going to ask if he in any way explained it when maybe when Punk was down at ringside or not.
I don't think so.
Okay. Because, I was just ready to get done with that show. So I kind of fast-forward during that part. I knew that CM Punk wasn't, it was all going to be intros until another commercial break, and I didn't feel like putting up with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's just another byproduct of the three-hour situation. It's just like...
Yeah, you get worn out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I recognize that I watch a pay-per-view at that time, but it's... set up completely different.
Yeah. Right.
So it's not really the same type of chore to sit through.
For some reason, pay-per-views go by nice and smooth, but three-hour wrestling shows never do. And obviously, it's because there's more stuff and less matches. But if they did the stuff well, then it would seem okay. But they never seem to get it right, you know.
I agree. It just because I watch enough TV. I mean, it's not like I only watch like three hours of drama or something like that. Like I can watch dramas, and I'm good with it. So it can be executed properly.
Right. Like, I can watch a fucking marathon of Law & Order Sports Utility Vehicle, you know? Several hours in a row of compelling stuff, you know? So
right.
It is possible. I don't totally have ADD. It's just that they drive you away with their crap. So,
was CM Punk's speech part of that that crap?
Was good. He was good, gotcha. And Lawler wasn't. Is my take.
Yeah, no, like I kind of liked that he didn't fire back at him when he was sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like at some juncture, because like that's kind of like he was talking about, especially stealing the spotlight. So I mean, Lawler not saying anything at that time helps keep the spotlight on Punk, which is good.
Right.
But there's no reason for him not to answer, you know, or at least explain himself.
Right.
It's just like, why did he turn his back? Like, especially with how split the crowds are.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of wrestling reporters would be kidding themselves. Like, The Rock didn't get unanimous support.
Not at all. It wasn't half and half, but it certainly wasn't 100-0.
Right.
It was a pretty good split. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that there's any reason, to me, there's no reason to believe that even though Punk might end up healing it up to get more heat on him, I think that there are going to be a bunch of fans that stick with him.
Absolutely. I think especially if he heals it up, I think fans like that out of their baby face, you know?
Yeah.
Coffee with their tea. So.
Yeah, it'll be a little bit better than, not that I didn't mind some of John Cena's responses, but I mean, CM Punk's just, he's better.
Well, that's absolutely true. Totally on board with that.
So, you know, I think the dialogue will be kind of interesting in that department, because it'll be interesting. Like, I always thought of the Voldemort of wrestling, Chris Benoit, as helping to teach The Rock finally, like, that's when he finally got it in the ring.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Mhm.
I wonder if because I had made fun of The Rock occasionally, and I got in trouble for it occasionally too, for being too. Yeah. I'm just repeating my same shit and saying it to John Cena this time.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see if he decides to step up to the plate and try. You know, to maybe do something a little bit different against someone who can answer him, really.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, well, yeah, I guess that could be speculation for another time. I didn't even think about that.
Sure, yeah, well, hey, you're hitting me from every angle here. What's going on?
I'm just trying to knock you out, Dusty.
I guess.
You might be bringing the Mexicans. I got to knock you out first.
I got a whole bunch of them in my pocket, ready to come out at. Anyway.
Oh, man. Well, The Rock, for our last piece of news that our fans can use, The Rock used to talk about the SmackDown Hotel.
We did.
Well, AW decided to talk about something that happened at a hotel quite some time ago with Kobe Bryant this weekend, this week on Raw.
Right.
What's
first of all, how current is that, you know? Who can relate to that reference? You know, no one gets that anymore.
Yeah, no, that... That was the first thing. Well, first things for me is that I didn't even hear it, because that was another moment that I'm just tired. Like, if he said it on their way down to the ring,
got to get through this fast forward. Mm-hmm.
Yep, fast forward through that. And then I read that Michael Cole had offered an apology for the joke.
Oh, God.
Later, and you know what I also did? I just thought that him and Lawler were babbling about something senseless.
Sure.
So I just buzzed through that,
figure,
too.
Right? That'd be the first time that happened.
No. Yeah, no, I figured that it was just another segment where they were going to be touting people or talking about, what's the other one, Shazam?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So it's just like, okay, whatever, it's just more shilling. I don't feel like putting up with this.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Now let me ask you something, because I'm trying to work this out in my head. I'm not quite sure. Apologizing for something after the fact like that, doesn't that just bring more attention to the thing? And shouldn't they have just kind of ignored it? Or I don't know.
I can't imagine that they got such a response from as we talk about the WWE audience, not always the sharpest, and
right.
I would imagine that if they're watching the programming that they're watching, that they're not really offended by that comment.
Right. Yeah.
So, I'm not sure what there is to apologize for.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what good that did. Maybe it did. I don't know. But I don't see what the positive was in apologizing for it. They should have just ignored it and pretended it didn't happen if they were embarrassed by it.
I'm scratching
my head here, you know.
Sure. Excellent. I didn't hear the apology. I do not even remotely care. If I had heard it, I certainly would not be offended. And I also probably wouldn't have laughed because it's not all that funny and it's not very current.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
So
it doesn't really hit on any cylinder whatsoever. So,
nope.
Congratulations, WWE. You totally failed.
Oh, man, yeah.
Well, I mean, you failed the minute you brought AEW out to the ring in the first place. That was the failure. So anything that happens after that is just double failure, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, it's pretty crazy that he's gotten two chances now, and Tony Atlas was outshining him in his first chance.
Oh, by far. Mm-hmm.
And then this one, I don't know why Titus O'Neil and Darren Young really need him.
They don't?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to write letters someday about how great Darren Young and Titus O'Neil are on the mic, but they're good enough to get through the tag team division where you're not really meant to talk.
The point is, no one was drafting a letter. God, you know what Darren Young and Titus O'Neil really need to get over that hump? They need AW with them. You know, nobody was writing that letter.
Oh, man. No, they were not.
No.
Well, this isn't news that you can use, but we decided to bring back, the old Mount Rushmore.
Yay!
In honor of baseball's trade deadline today.
Yeah,
we decided it would be a timely topic to talk about since there aren't really trades in wrestling, about changing promotions in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dusty, what would your Mount Rushmore of company changes be there?
Well, I've been thinking about this for a couple hours now. We brought this up, and I think number one on the list has to be Scott Hall. That was a really impressive jump. It led to the NWO. It was shocking at the time because he had been wrestling with WWF right up until he jumped, which, by the way, was fucking idiotic and caused a lot of backstage problems, and they should have fucking let him wrestle at WrestleMania and then suspend him for the rest of his contract so they could have killed him in terms of publicity before he jumped to WCW, and I've said that since 96, and I was right then and I'm right now, but they didn't do that. So Scott Hall was number one. Probably Lex Luger jumping to WCW. That one was pretty surprising because he also had been wrestling with WWF right until he jumped. And Eric Bischoff with the, he doesn't even work here, you know, which became a cliche, a tale as old as time. But at the time, it was significant and led to him versus Hogan on Nitro and all kinds of big stuff before he became Lex Luger again. So he's on there. I would put Rick Rude on there because he appeared on Nitro on the same night he appeared on the taped Raw. So just for historical significance, that was pretty interesting. And on the other flip of the coin, Big Bubba Rogers becoming Big Boss Man. You know, he went from just a bodyguard in WCW and then almost instantly became a main eventer for WWF. Reinvented himself as the Big Boss Man, which was interesting because he really was, I guess, a prison guard in Cobb County. So, you know, they were telling the truth there, and they got the most out of him. So that was pretty huge. So that would be my list. You're going to prove me wrong by saying stuff that's better than what's on my list, so go ahead.
Well, I don't know if it's better or not because I put Kevin Nash in Scott Hall to WCW.
Yep.
And even though I wasn't there to see it, and even though it didn't really do a whole lot for 2 years, I think that isn't ever quite the same without Hulk Hogan going to WCW a couple of years prior to that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And then to me, to kind of round out the rise, to me, this was like the fall, the official fall of WCW when the Radicals came to the then
sure.
WWF.
That's an excellent one. Absolutely.
Yeah, I you know, WCW was still kind of hanging in there, but when that quartet bailed ship, it was over, Johnny.
I will say that at that point, if they had had the right booking, they could have turned things around. But once the Radicals left, all hope disappeared. Because that was the core of their future. And it just went bye-bye. And what was left was a shell of a roster. It was a bunch of, the young guys were basically nobodies, and the main event stars were all old and washed up and not really useful anymore. So, yeah, the Radicals, that's excellent. Absolutely.
Yep. And then Flair to the WWF 91 edition.
Oh, okay. Yep, there you go. You just killed me.
Even though he only spent a couple of years in the WWF at that time, I think that
oh,
one.
Oh, you know what?
Is,
it was about 1 year exactly. It was like a year and a month or something.
Okay. No. Yeah, no, I was looking at the old Wikipedia. I thought it was 2 years, but
sure.
Who cares? Whatever.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, it makes it more significant is my point, because he only stayed for about a year, but he made a huge impact. He just created chaos everywhere. It was amazing.
Oh, man. And then, what, we usually do 5 for these, correct?
Well, no, Mount Rushmore is 4.
4. Well, then that's my 4.
There you go.
You know, I guess as an honorable mention, I had, even though it was a firing, but Austin to ECW.
Okay. Okay.
Because, you know, it just seems like that's where he really, he got his shit together. Even though he was the ringmaster afterwards, it seemed that that was the spark that got Stone Cold Steve Austin to become a reality.
I've said many times that Vince McMahon needs to see you doing something different in order for him to envision something different. So he probably saw Austin in WCW the same way Bischoff did in a lot of ways, even though that's completely bogus and not true. He probably just saw him as a bland wrestler in black tights doing wrestling moves. And Austin going to ECW probably opened Vince's eyes that, hey, this guy is really useful and you should get his hands on him. So absolutely.
So, yeah, I don't know. I am out of information for this week. Are you out of information also?
Hey, I mean, the people who listen to this, it was like information overload. We need to give them a rest and let their brains process all this awesome information we just gave them. I think we're done.
Outstanding. Well, I am... still tired from pumping iron myself, so I'm going to go grab a sippy time beer to ruin what I did, and I am out of here.
All right. Well, for Kevin DeFranco, for Idiot Intern, for Chad Qualls, Gabby Sanchez, and Travis Snyder, I am Dusty Giebink, and I'll carry on through it all, because I'm a waterfall, and we'll try to do better next time. Yeah.